Hello and welcome to Colorful Conversations. Colorful Conversations is a podcast dedicated to exploring topics around identity, visibility, and intersectionality. Today, we'll be discussing the experience of being mixed race. We will look into our experiences growing up with a biracial family, privileges and challenges that come with being mixed, and how perceptions towards being mixed shifts in different contexts. Before we get started, we would like to acknowledge that we are calling in from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Maya Nelson Roundtree. My mother is Jamaican Canadian. She's a Black woman, and my dad is white Canadian. In my life, I've moved a lot. I've moved from state to state in the US, and I've spent a few years of my high school in the Netherlands, and now I'm here in Canada at the University of British Columbia, here for uni. So I'll let Maureen introduce herself.
Hello, I'm Maureen Bohm. My mom is a Thai Asian woman and my dad is white. He's from Switzerland. I grew up in Thailand and recently, well, not recently, but I moved to Canada about 4 years ago for university as well.
All right, so with that being said, how would you describe growing up as a mixed person, like given your lived experience in both Thailand and Switzerland and now here in Canada?
I would say that my experience growing up as a mixed person has been relatively positive because I went to an international school when I was young and most of my friends are mixed. So I've always been, you know, in a diverse, multiracial, I've always been surrounded by lots of mixed people my entire life. So I've never really felt different from others. And I've always identified myself as half Thai, half Swiss, just as my friends would identify themselves as half Thai and half whatever nationality. And that's just how mixed people usually identify themselves in Thailand. There's actually a term for mixed people and it usually has positive connotations, but it also largely depends on your mix. But in general, I feel like people there find mixed people to be interesting. And I would say that the only time I really struggle with how I identify myself would be when I'm around my Swiss family members, because they don't really use the term mixed race or biracial. It's not really, I feel like it's not really a big thing there, maybe in other regions of Switzerland, like in big cities, but my family comes from a small village. And I noticed that the way when they come across a mixed person, they usually identify that person based on how that person looks and based on, or even if that person looks white, they would still identify that person based on their other mix, which is interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Or even when, if you're fully Asian, but you grew up in Switzerland, for example, they would still, and you have all the same values as someone who is fully Swiss, for example, they would still identify you as Asian. And yeah, so I feel like my identity obviously changes depending on where I go, and it can be confusing sometimes because I feel like I have to change it depending on where I am and on who I'm talking to. And sometimes the way that I identify myself doesn't seem to satisfy the other person. And some people would actually disagreed with me with the way that I identify myself. And that can be frustrating because what are you looking for?
Yeah.
How about you, Maya? How was your experience?
My experience growing up as a mixed race, Black, white individual, mainly in the US, it's all right, but I would say I did have a tough time throughout my early adolescence or like within middle school and high school. I think because I think that's when I started seeing myself as a bit different. I grew up in predominantly white space or predominantly white spaces. I moved a lot, but they did have some things in common, and that, you know, I was always a minority. And I think I did have some issues with coming to terms with like my Black features, like particularly my hair. I think I would see my hair as like, you know, the most obvious Black feature in me. I think, you know, by seeing my really kinky, curly hair, I think that is an indicator that this woman is Black, or, you know, and at least in the US, they'll see that and they'll be like, yeah, she's Black. And I love my hair now. I love what it looks like, but I did really struggle with that. And I would often try to straighten it. And, you know, I got comments like, oh, Maya, you should thin your hair. Or like, oh, Maya, I love it when your hair is straightened, or when it would go back to curly, because, you know, straightening it is not permanent and it does go back to curly and it's actually quite damaging for my natural hair. But they'd be like, oh, I love your hair so much better when it's straight. And now I'm sort of realizing that that was actually quite problematic, because I was trying to hide my most like the biggest indicator that I am Black. I was trying to hide that. You know, I wouldn't say that my experience was so hard, but I do think because of the way I look and because of some of my features and because of the spaces I grew up in, there were some challenges. But I would say that my experience would have been different if I was a dark-skinned Black woman. I do notice that there being like a light-skinned mixed race, and maybe sometimes for some people like racially ambiguous, I think there are definitely some privileges that I have as a light-skinned Black woman. And also just given colorism, how people still praise lighter skin tones. I definitely see myself being like portrayed more in media. I see a lot of mixed race Black and white models. I see a lot of mixed race or light skinned Black like pop stars or like movie stars. So I think I also see myself more represented in the media as opposed to a dark skinned Black woman as well. So those are also some things that I need to be aware of. And but yeah, I don't know, what about you? Do you see any like advantages, or like, or maybe not advantages, but privileges that you have as a mixed person, or just the way you look in society?
Well, in Thailand, it's interesting, because in Thailand, the more, if you're hot, if you're mixed white especially, and if you have white features, people just immediately find you attractive there. You know, a lot of Thai celebrities, a lot of celebrities in Thailand, they're mixed, and so many people just find them super attractive just because they have the features that they find desirable, I would say, you know, like a pointy nose or big eyes, double eyelids, all those features that come that you find in a white person. So they treat you nicely, and yeah, it comes with a lot of privileges. But then when you compare the experience of a mixed person who has a lot of white features to someone who might not necessarily look like they're mixed, if they have more, you know, for example, Asian features, they wouldn't be treated the same way because people might not recognize them as mixed. I feel like you can really see how the favoritism there sometimes, because yeah, they just prefer those white features over Asian features in Thailand, especially. Yeah, and I've noticed, because like I said, I grew up around a lot of mixed people. I've noticed that when you're young, a lot of the mixed kids like to identify with they want to be seen as white more than as an Asian person, because they know that that's what people like, which is sad. And I was like that as well when I was younger. I needed people to know that I'm half Swiss, because I know that Thai people, well, people in Thailand anyway, they like that in a person. And so I would try to just always make sure to let someone know that I'm mixed white. Mm-hmm. And but now that I look back at it, now that I have a better understanding about, you know, all the issues surrounding race and ethnicity, it just, it makes it, you see how problematic it is. And just how it's, it really affects how you see yourself, how you carry yourself, how you identify yourself.
For sure. And, even at that young age, you saw the privileges that's attached mm-hmm. with whiteness. And like, you saw that, like, you could take advantage of the white side in you to like leverage yourself. Like, you already saw that at such a young age, the way, you know, that kind of works in society. That's really interesting.
Yeah, and the sad thing is sometimes some people completely just cannot accept the other race in themselves. I feel like, for example, if like a mixed Thai, mixed French person, so I know some people who completely disregard the Thai part of themselves, and they refuse to learn the language. They refuse to you know, learn about the Thai culture. And that's really sad, in my opinion, because it's a rich culture. And, you know, you can have both instead of choosing one. And but also the way that society is, the way that society is, it's so hard to, because you don't want to be discriminated, obviously. So I feel like a lot of mixed people would take that advantage.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heck and want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
For you, did you, like, at a certain point come to embrace, like, your Thai side, or was that a struggle for you to embrace that side of you?
I feel like as I grew older and I became more aware of why I was trying to identify more as white, like, I understood that it doesn't really make me better than anyone else. And I just, and I started to, I think when I moved to when I moved to a new high school when I was younger, and I was surrounded more by fully Thai friends, I started to appreciate the Thai in me more. And I feel like that's when I started to be comfortable, you know, identifying myself as a Thai person, and I'm from Thailand. And especially when I moved to Canada, I really missed everything, all the culture, the food, everything. And I'm so proud to say that I grew up in Thailand, I'm from Thailand now. Because it like the culture there, it's really a part of who I am. And I like to, you know, I'm proud of it because it's like I have a culture.
I get that. I think with me, like, as well, I think I definitely identify as Black. And, like, I think over time, I'm wanting to embrace that part of me more. And just also understanding, like, the history of my family, and just knowing that there's a lot more struggle in the Black side of my family. Like, my grandpa grew up in Jamaica, like, dirt poor, like, mm-hmm. and, like, he did so much for the family, and just to, like, leverage himself into, like, Like, he just is like an insanely hard worker. He went through so much trial and tribulation, like with racism, with all kinds of forms of discrimination and, you know, barriers that, you know, that's a part of myself that I don't, you know, I definitely do not want to push away. And also I can't, just given the way I look. I don't know, there are ways to alter your appearance, but I don't know. It's something beautiful, I think, when you just accept yourself, who you are, who you're, you know, yeah, just accepting how you were born, your features, your family, your history. I think when you come to accept that, when you learn more about that, then I think you become a more self-aware person, I feel.
Yeah, and it's nice because you also become more connected to that part of your, you know, you and your family.
Disability, mental health,
ADHD and ADD,
and many, many more topics we explore and cover.
But where?
On CITR's All Access Pass.
A unique and collectively run show on equity, inclusion, and creating awareness for people of all abilities in BC and around the world.
Catch us every other Wednesday afternoon from 3 to 4.
If you want more info or want to get involved, please find us on Facebook or send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime. Across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
It seems like we've had different experiences in different countries, and I think it's also interesting to see people's perceptions of our race in different contexts or in different places that have different histories. So it's always interesting to see how you're perceived in different places as a mixed person. Mm-hmm. Have you found that as well?
Yeah, I find it interesting, almost funny at the same time when people try to guess where you're from. Mm-hmm. When you're mixed, when you're really racially ambiguous, it's just they really, some people just really get it wrong completely. I mean, yeah, like in Thailand, for a lot of Thai people, I don't look Thai, and they would guess that I'm from somewhere else, and it's just... Oh. Interesting, because for white people, when I mention that I'm Thai, they can see it. They can see it immediately.
Oh, I see.
Right. Or yeah.
What have you gotten? Like, what have people assumed or guessed that you are? Like, what would they say?
I get a lot of any country from South America. Especially even in Thailand, a lot of people have asked me, oh, are you from Mexico? Or sometimes I get like a Hawaii. That was a weird one.
Oh yeah.
It was the first time I've ever gotten that. I was like,
oh,
what?
That's funny.
Yeah. And you always have to correct them. Oh no. But yeah, when you mentioned about when you were talking about perceptions, it's also interesting when you look at how people's perceptions on mixed people have changed over time, because in some countries mixed people were seen as impure. Mm. And they've just been and they were subject to discrimination, and it's just it's interesting how people just tackle the subject.
I think the history of like interracial relationships as well, like, is also interesting. I think in the US it was illegal, like interracial relationships, or like, mm-hmm. which is also interesting. And I think that also comes from, like, maintaining a pure race, like mm-hmm. maintaining the racial hierarchy. So I think when you when other races like intermingle, then it's like, oh my god, no, they're messing up the system that we put in place. They're they're messing up the racial hierarchy. They're gonna make things way more complicated. Like, mixed people are also like, in some ways, like throughout history and even today, seen as like problematic, because like, you know, we're screwing up the races. So yeah, it's interesting.
Thank you for listening to this month's episode of Colorful Conversations. You just heard about our experiences growing up as mixed women and navigating our own identities. Stay tuned for more episodes of Colorful Conversations. Thank you.